Well, we've come to the last Friday night of the year. And after this, we're going to do a recap of all the Friday nights. I'm serious. But I'm thankful for everything that has happened, and I'm hoping tomorrow will be a wonderful time. I know that at least two youth have prepared testimonies to share already. And you want to sing a song, you want to be an encouragement to people, all right, and just reflecting on God's goodness, you're free to do so. There will be time given. As I begin, I just hopefully this night will be something which you can remember even for your own spiritual life, okay? When my dad passed away, I'll begin by saying when my dad passed away, his last words were never heard of or understood by me. Why? Because I'm only 5 years old. My dad died in February, I think, 1973. It was 28, I can't remember. He died of throat cancer. They call it nasopharyngeal carcinoma, all right, which is actually the cancer of the throat. And all I could remember of him was he gasping for breath. And he was in the Si Pai Po, SGH, Singapore General. Last time it was called the Outram Road Hospital. He was there for 1 year. Okay, and being the type of male that he is, and he didn't allow my mom to go to work. So my mom, after he passed away, had to start from scratch. Okay, I'm glad my mom's not here, so it wouldn't kind of bring up things for her. But I remember, I could remember him in the coffin. And last time the coffin wasn't the kind of shiny one we have today. It's those that were made in the shape of a silver ingot. You know the tail of silver, Chinese ingot. Okay. The shape was, and when you have one of those, you should be a pretty wealthy person. And my dad was pretty wealthy. He was a businessman. He was also a Chinese physician. He was a Chinese medium all rolled into one. Okay? But those last words, I never remembered what my dad said to my mom. Although my mom reminded me all the time. Okay? And these were the last words my dad gave me. He said to my mom, and my mom reminded me, listen to your mom. That was all he said. And because I didn't understand, and I still remember actually as a 5 year old, I cried because my mommy cried. I still remember the taxi. I still remember that. I mean, in my mind's eye, as I share with you now, I can still remember my mom was just kind of sobbing her out. And I kind of just crying because she was crying. I didn't know why he was crying. Because a child at the age of 5 don't really have the concept of death or separation. You only know that your mom, dad not around, that's all. And so many years after that were spent in personal selfishness. But you know, I was glad God intervened, took charge of my life. And slowly, God began to influence me so that I can influence her. And thank God today she has trusted Christ. Yeah, there's a lot of things that she has got to get rid of. But no, I never forgot that she told me, your dad said, listen to your mom. I'm going to talk about another man today who was going to die. Okay, another man who was going to die. And let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Okay, we're going to read verse 10 to verse 17. This is another man who was going to die. His name is the Apostle Paul. And as he was going to die, he gave certain words to Timothy. And these words I want to actually go through today because I believe it's very telling for us. It's very important for us because we are going to leave 2011 and go into 2012. All of these few days, messages will be targeted at that. Because I believe we need to have a heart ready to face 2012. Okay? And so as we near the end of this year, we want to make sure that we remember what God has taught us for 2011 as we move into 2012, okay? And maybe I'll just invite us to stand, all right, as we read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 to 17, okay? I'll start at verse 10. People on my left will be verse 11, people on my right, verse 12, and so on, until we finish at verse number 17. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Okay. I'll begin. But thou hast fully known... Hang on, let me just... Okay. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. On my left. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them.
And that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, altogether, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to the last Friday night of this year, Father, I pray that you help us as we take the words from the Apostle Paul to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Father, I pray this night will be a reflection, Lord, on all the things that you have taught us. And Father, through this passage, help us to see what Paul admonishes and teaches Timothy, that God, as we move into 2012, we will carry on what we have learned. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Bless everyone here. And I pray we will have spirit-filled listening and obedience in our hearts. And we'll thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. In verse 14, Paul admonishes Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The title of today's message is Continue Thou. Continue Thou. The word continue simply means stay put. Stand your ground. It means stay put. It means don't move. Continue thou. Be there on a continuous basis. No matter what happens, stay where you are. And continue what you always have been doing. Okay, what do we do to continue in the things God has taught us? I'm just going to give you five things, alright, based on this passage. Look at verse number 10. Okay, verse number 10. Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Number one, we continue in the things of God when we learn to understand and follow Christians who follow God. Okay, we learn to understand and follow Christians who follow God. Now, where did I get that? From verse 10, but thou hast fully known. The word fully known means I understand, I have grasped, I have known what you have gone through. Paul tells Timothy, you have completely known what I have done. Okay? Figuratively, it means to trace out. It also means to conform to. It also means to attain to. It means to completely follow. Does that make sense? So Paul is telling Timothy, before I leave, Timothy, you have fully grasped, you have understood my manner of life. And you know, as a principle for us as Christians, we need to understand and follow Christians who follow God. We have, for us, some of us follow certain people. I know youth like to follow so-and-so, and sometimes in their room they will have rock stars, or they may have certain people, maybe Steve Jobs perhaps, and what a guru he was and all that. But you know what Paul says, Timothy? Follow me. Follow me. You know, a principle we need to learn in our Christian life is to follow Christians who follow God. I was just talking to someone today. And you know, it's so easy always to look at Christians who are not doing what is right. I want to change that. I want to, by God's grace, encourage us, follow Christians who are doing right. Don't look at those who are not doing right. Look at those who are doing right. Like Paul says, follow me. Look at those who are following God. So what do we do? What do we understand? What do we follow these Christians on? Number one, Paul says there, you can just write that there are 10 things quickly. He says what? You have fully known my doctrine, my teaching. So number one, the teachings of Paul. The teachings of Paul is just under the first point. Understand and follow Christians, alright? What are the 10 things? Number one, the teachings that Paul taught. For us, everything that the Bible has, whatever the person stands for. If it's in the Bible, follow it. Okay? If you have no idea how to practice it, just do it the way he sees it. And then as you learn, as you grow, God will help you also. Number one, the teachings that has been taught to you. By the grace of God, as pastor, I hope to be able to give you exactly what Jesus wants us to learn. Because that is my responsibility. According to Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. It is Jesus' commandment to a pastor like myself. You are to teach the flock I've given to you everything I've shared in this book. And I'm not to deviate from it, both in letter and in principle. That's very important. Some people will be so clear about the letter, but they forget the principle. Some people are so clear about the principle, they forget the letter. We need both. Okay? Number one, the teachings. Number two, the manner of life. Because Paul says, you have fully known my doctrine and my manner of life. The word manner of life simply means how I live my life of service, in loving others, and advancing the kingdom of God, in serving the Lord through the local church, in how I kept on going on. Timothy, you have seen how I serve God with all of my heart. You have seen my manner of life when I was in prison, when I'm out of prison. Timothy, you have seen my life as I serve God with tears and fasting. You have seen me, perhaps people have told you how I was stoned and I was hit. And my whole motivation of service, Timothy, you have understood my manner of life. Timothy, follow me. And I want you to grasp this, Timothy, following the manner of life. And number three, he says also, follow what? Purpose. Purpose. Paul's life had a purpose. The word purpose has the idea of intention. Paul did everything that he did for two reasons: to glorify Jesus Christ and to get souls into the kingdom of God. Amen? That's all he did for. He gave everything he had. So we need to follow Christians who have purpose in their Christian lives. And then he goes on to say, purpose after purpose is faith. The word faith there has to do with what I believe in. How I trusted God. How when I needed something, I prayed and I had faith. We need to follow a Christian's faith. Someone whom you can look up to. It could be anyone. Okay? Follow the faith. Follow endurance in the Christian life. Because the next one talks about my long suffering. In the Christian race, there is a lot of things that will happen to us. But Paul says, follow my long suffering. My endurance in the Christian race. Remember, your Christian life is a marathon. And Paul says, follow that. Have my long suffering. Don't give in. I say again, can I say and challenge your Christian life? Don't give in. Satan does all he can to make you give in through discouragement, through stress, through situations. How often it is for Christians, the first sign of trouble is to abandon what they stand for as a Christian. When exams come, I better study hard, I won't go to church. All right? This is a general Singaporean problem. Okay, I deal with it as pastor because it is important for parents to teach children. Exam is important, but God is more important. And when the children grow up understanding that, you will find that many, even sitting here, have shared with me, pastor, I'm glad I put FBI first. I had exam next day, but I put FBI first, and guess what? I did so well. And I'm glad. I had another person SMS me and say, she had an exam and decided not to come to church, and she got a B, but when she came to church and exam next day, she got an A. Sometimes God encourages young Christians like that. Put me first now, and I will exalt you. Okay? We need to endure. We need to learn to have patience. Endurance in the Christian race. And charity. Charity means unconditional love. It is so hard for us as Christians to have unconditional love. But do you see someone who has unconditional love? And listen carefully. Unconditional love is love you give not to just a select group of people, but you give generally to all. Does that make sense? The Lord Jesus Christ loved Zacchaeus. He loved the lady caught in adultery. He loved the Pharisees too. Amen? He loved everyone. It's not just to a select group of people. If it's just to a select group of people, then it becomes conditional love. Alright? God says, follow Christians who love God with charity. Then patience. Look at verse 10. After that, patience. Follow the patience of this. The word patience means what? What does patience mean? I always say that. What does patience mean? Huh? Okay, patience and long-suffering are a bit different. Long-suffering means you're going through something, but patience has a deeper meaning whereby it says enduring under circumstances in which you have no control over. Pressing on, just cannot take it anymore. But you know what? For the sake of Christ, I'm just going to have patience. Example, you are waiting at a bus stop. Your friend said 9:15, I'm supposed to meet. You're supposed to meet him. And now it's 10:30. You don't know where he is. Your battery low bad. Or no bad. No battery already. Okay. And you're scared after you call, you lose contact. And you don't know where and what. You have no control over. Okay. Many people today will spend their time playing computer games to distract themselves while waiting. Huh? But you know, if it's an important appointment, to have patience means, regardless of what happens, I'll still wait for this friend to come. And the interesting thing about patience is, when he actually does come, 1.5 hours later, you won't be angry at him. That's patience. Got it? That's spiritual. Whereby the love of Jesus Christ fills your heart. And then even though you waited so long for that person, you say, hey, anything happened to you or not? I know I waited long, but did anything happen? The first concern is, what happened that caused him to be so late? Usually there's a reason. Okay? But if you sleep in and late and whatever, I think it's just common courtesy to let this person know you're late. But let's put it this way. I don't believe anyone intentionally want to make other people wait. Okay? And so that's why we need to have patience. We need to learn patience. Okay, patient being tolerant when I have no control over situations. And then in another point is understand and follow Christians who follow God when they are being persecuted. The word persecution here in verse 11, because Paul goes on in verse 11 to say, Timothy, you have also fully known, understood and grasped my persecutions that I have gone through. Okay, persecution is when people actually stand against the man of God and what they do. Actually oppose actively. Do you realize that Paul also had persecution from false brethren? People who opposed him, also within. And how Paul responded. Also, Paul had afflictions in verse 11. Persecution, then affliction. The word affliction is hardship and pain. Hardship and pain. All of us, whoever who has given yourselves to God to serve God, will realize that there is hardship and pain in serving Christ. But Paul says, you have understood this. And then the encouraging thing is the last part of verse 11. What in persecution endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You need to understand also, when Christians go through this, how God delivered them. Now I've shared many testimonies about how God delivered me. Some of you have shared some testimony, how God answered your prayer. And God, you know what? We need to learn. Our eyes need to be focused on what God is doing, not what the world is doing. Number one, we need to understand and follow Christians who follow God, so that we can continue in the things which God has taught us, number one. Number two, look at verse number 12. How do we continue in the things that God has taught us? Number two, we need to determine to live godly for Christ. Okay, verse 12, yea, and all that were determined. The word will means determined to. You search the Greek, it means to have a resolve. I'm determined to live godly for Christ Jesus. You know, I was just toying. I wanted to actually my point initially, I thought, determined to live for Christ. Then I asked myself, what does it mean to live for Christ? Then I realized the Bible didn't say live for Christ. The Bible says all those who will live godly in Christ. And so I have to ask myself, what does live godly for Christ mean? What does live godly for Christ mean? What does godliness mean? Anyone? Maybe, what does godliness mean?
Holiness.
Okay, holiness. What else? What does godliness mean over this side? What does godliness mean? What does godly mean? Godly. When I say Brother Jacob is godly, what does it mean? Has characteristics of God. Okay, so what does that mean? What does that mean? Okay, yeah. Oh, what characteristics should we show in our lives of godliness? Sorry? Different example? Is it omnipresence? I don't think so. For the younger Christian, there are two categories of the attributes of God. One is transferable, one is non-transferable.
Okay. The non-transferable one is like omnipresence and stuff.
We're looking at the transferable attributes, okay, which are things like holiness, love. Okay. Can I say this? How do you know a person is godly? By his characteristics. And number two is very important. How he responds to whatever comes his way. Because a person's character could be that all he has, he's loving and all that. But the real test is when a situation comes up and how he actually responds to it. Does it make sense? To live godly in Christ Jesus means when you have been persecuted, the first thing you do is to pray for your enemies. The first thing you will do is, God, what is your will? To live godly in Christ Jesus means you will put God first in your career search. To put God first and live godly in Christ Jesus means in all your decisions of life, it is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's godliness. Because you are to live godly in Christ Jesus, the way Jesus Christ lived. Okay? Living godly in Christ refers to submitting our lives to do God's will and to be like Christ. And as a result of our doing what God's will, can I say this? In order for us to have the attributes of God, we need to be doing what God tells us to do first. Does that make sense? And so that actually starts by submitting yourself first, doing it, and as you do it, it becomes a habit in your life. I want to say this probably as a start of next year. The goal is no longer just to preach generally. I'm going to go into details. I'm going to have workshops whereby as Christians, you practice what you learn. Okay? And so that's something we need to determine to live godly in Christ Jesus. We need to have godly in Christ Jesus means example of holiness and holiness. We need to have zero tolerance for sin, for example. Zero tolerance for sin. Of course, we will love and have grace on the sinner, but we have zero tolerance for sin. Okay? We need to have a holy hatred for sin. Number two, we need to determine to live godly for Christ Jesus. That's what Paul told Timothy. Number three, verse 11 to 13, 2 Timothy chapter 3. After that, Paul goes on to tell Timothy in verse 12, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." When I studied that particular word, it's interesting because the word persecution means, the word suffer persecution means dread, afraid or fear to the point of fleeing. Okay? The word suffer persecution, I was reading another phrase about that. He says, it means an individual who chooses to live for Christ will be hunted down like wild beasts. In other words, what we do will not be acceptable to this world. Therefore, we will be hunted down like wild beasts. And Timothy had to know that because many of the young early Christians died for the faith. And Paul had to remind Timothy, look, if you will do what God tells you to do, it will be contrary to the principles of this world. It will be against what the world stands for, and you will face opposition. And that's what Paul had to prepare Timothy for. Point number three. How do we continue in the things God has taught us? We need to be prepared for inconvenience, discomforts, and conflict when you choose to follow Christ. Inconvenience, discomforts, and conflict when you choose to follow Christ. Paul tells Timothy, those who choose to live godly in Christ Jesus will be hunted like wild beasts. They will go through the difficulties and inconveniences. Based on this verse, if our Christian lives are not inconvenient, very comfortable, everything is nice and wonderful, it is possible that the devil is not doing much against us because we are not threatening his kingdom. Why should the devil trouble a sleeping Christian? Just let him continue to sleep. You know, when Paul told Timothy, "Timothy, you need to rise to the fight." I was telling someone on Sunday, I think all of us go through a lot of things which distract us, interrupt us. I know of Christians who the moment they say, "I know I'm going to make a decision to serve God more next year," and that was the beginning point of the hardest times in their life. When Paul says this, "All that will live, if you're so determined to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will have inconveniences, you will have discomforts. There will be times that you wish you were not a Christian." And I've heard this many times. "Why must I be a Christian, do all these things? I don't have time for myself." Sound familiar? But your time don't belong to you, Christians. It does not belong to you, it belongs to God. And if you live godly in Christ Jesus, it belongs to God. It does not belong to you. Does that make sense? And so Paul says, "Timothy, when you choose to live for Christ, you will suffer the discomfort, you will suffer the inconvenience. Because why? God will get us to do things that we sometimes don't want to. Just like a soldier being sent into top hurrah if you want in the army, and they've got to stay out in the field for 3 days. Sometimes you don't shower. We learn to have powder bath. You learn powder bath? Powder bath is very refreshing, but you know what? If you touch this water, let's see, it's sticky like crazy. But you know what? You learn to have smelly uniform. Even soldiers who go up on the TransLink bus now, the moment it's a green uniform, you want to stay a bit further from them. Why? Because they stink. And after you've trained so hard, you have to go back, and the worst thing we hate after training is return store, area cleaning. Everything has to be spick and span, otherwise the company, the person is not going to receive. Everything must be accounted for. And then tired and all that, that's a soldier. No, Christian, our lives don't belong to us. What? "Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Paul says, "For ye are bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. So Paul was telling Timothy, be prepared for inconveniences. You serve God. You know, everything, if everything, like I say, if everything is going fine, you know, I'll say this, and I hope you're with me on this. I'm always glad when Ambassador Baptist Church goes through difficulties. You know why? "Brother Johnny, don't like that lah. How are we going to grow without stress? No stress, no growth." You know what happens to someone with no stress? After a while, he gets bigger and bigger. Right? Because we are kind of just relaxed in one area and we just kind of whine. What do you call that? How do you say in English? We become, rot. We rot. Our Christian lives rot. I'll tell you the truth about Christian life. Our Christian life is always on an inclined plane. If you're not moving upwards, you are moving backwards. There's no two ways about it. There's no two ways about it. If you're not moving upwards, you're moving downwards. Okay? Are we prepared for this in the new year? And I believe God has much for us. I'm looking forward to what God has. But you know what? Paul says, remember, when you choose to live for me, you will have to go through some hardship. And then that's when Jesus will probably ask you, do you love me enough to go through those hardships for me? You know, it's a personal thing. Jesus is not going to force us, but you know what? Paul makes it clear to Timothy. Point number 4. Suffering persecution, then in verse 13, You know, as you suffer persecution, Timothy, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The word evil men there is interesting because it describes the type of people who will come in the church. These are men with hurtful personalities, and they aim to corrupt, they aim to hurt. They aim to bring a certain philosophy that will injure the younger Christians. We had the unpleasant task of seeing one of our members many years ago go astray and not even living for God now, because one person, when she was out tracting, said something that made her doubt her salvation. And later on, she just kind of totally threw God out and just doing what she wants. And I'm following the trend of her life. You know, it has gone from this, and her language is going down. And there's no problem with that. These are evil men. The world, listen, parents and all of us, especially in the church, the world has a tendency to want to teach us things that are wrong. Okay? Example, perhaps you're in a company and maybe your company dinner and dance or whatever, and someone kind of says, hey, let's do this, you know. And then maybe initially you kind of, hey, I shouldn't do that because, in the name of fun, it's okay one, little bit one, you know. How many of you had this thing thrown at you and saying, oh yeah, you can come and join us for a drink, or I don't drink alcohol, I just drink orange juice la. It's very, but you know what? Be not deceived, evil communication corrupts good manners. And after a while, you will find that there's no... The devil is very smart. The devil wants you to just meet halfway first. We cannot meet halfway. There is no middle ground between us and the world. We have to make a stand. In a nice way. But you know what? We still have to make a... In this situation, you know, the world wants to corrupt us. We must always aim to help or heal. The world wants to corrupt us, you know, so what you do generally, my concern is for young people. There's a tendency because of the lack of moral strength to give in. I'll just do what everyone is doing. That's why in NUS now they have a big problem with what I call the orientation, what you call that? Ragging, is it? What, ragging? A ragging whereby they get the girls to do things that are absolutely indecent to the point that people are crying. You know what they say? Oh, it's just in the name of fun. All those people who have that fun will be in hell. Because it's moral corruption. Taking innocent, perhaps, men and maybe innocent young adults who may not have been exposed to this and putting them through this. You know what they are doing? Corrupting. If you ever go to university, make a stand and say, I will not participate in that. Okay? And parents, you need to teach your children to be able to know the right from the wrong. Corruption. So what do we do? As Christians, our goal must always be to aim to help or to heal in the life of others. We must never have the intention of teaching a philosophy or teaching something that will bring our people to the wall. Okay? And then there will be seducers, the people who say one thing to distract people from the truth. Now, I do not believe it will happen in Ambassador, but it's important for us to be careful that what we do and what we say and what we teach must be in line closely to biblical truth. May I say this, all that we do, as it must be in line, biblical teaching, command, principle, pattern. Every philosophy and action must come directly from the Word of God. If it is controversial, we don't want any part of it. Alright? Neither give place to the devil is the principle I hold very tightly, and I will not tolerate that as pastor. We will not allow anything that will come in. Parents, listen to this. What we do in moderation, our children will do in excess. I say that again. What we think, because as adults, we can control, we can manage, we can have principles, but what we do in moderation, our younger children who do not have the wisdom will do excessively. Does that make sense? And that's why as Christians, as leaders, as parents, as people in the church, we need to hold the standard so high, there is no doubt where we stand for. Sometimes people will think we're erratic, but you know what? For the sake of the next generation, we need to make strong stand. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. The next thing Paul tells Timothy to do, be alert for deceivers both by doctrine and by deeds. by doctrine and by deeds. This is especially so for us when leaders in the home, leaders in the church, leaders in your workplace. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible? And you know, can I just implore the help of every Christian who are members here? Is it possible to teach something that is wrong with the right intention? Is it possible to teach something wrong but with a right intention? Is it possible? Who says it's possible? Put up a hand. Who says it's not possible? Who says, Brother Johnny, I don't know what I'm talking about. Is it possible to teach something wrong with a right intention? The cults do it all the time. The cults do it all the time. The Jehovah's Witnesses go all out to win people. Why? Because they believe that's the way. And they will not tolerate a second look. But you know what? When you go with them with the Bible, they just ignore you. They don't want to go to the Bible. But you know what? We as people of the truth, it is possible that we will bring our own worldly philosophies and teach someone. Oh, God forbid. Everything, whether it's in any area of life and living and faith and practice, must come squarely from the Word of God. If we are not sure what God says, we don't do it. Full stop. That's what the Bible says. Anything that's not of faith is sin. Alright? So we need to be alert for deceivers both by doctrine and by deeds. And number 5, Paul says in verse number 2 Timothy, for those who just came in, verse chapter 3, verse number 14, and Paul says, but continue thou. Continue thou has the idea of staying in the Word. Because after that, the whole part is talking about the doctrine. Number 5, we've got to stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Why must we stay in the Word? 5 things. Number 1, because it is taught by the trusted apostle. The Bible says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Can I say this? I believe this with all my heart. There are 2 levels of trust in any official position. The trust of that position and the trust of that person in that position. Does that make sense? And so when people come to church, they would trust the pastor, for example, because it's supposed to be a position of trust. And I live in fear and trepidation every day of my life. Because I fear I may break the trust of both my life, my words. Ah, I failed, I'm sure. Or maybe you perceive that I failed. I say this because every Sunday for the last 8 years, I've been teaching God's Word. And Paul says to Timothy, continue in the things which you have learned, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That simply means, do we trust the people teaching us God's Word? Trusting the person means, I know that's what God says, and therefore I obey that. Because belief and trust is the same. When we believe God's Word, because unless I'm seeking my own philosophy, that's a different thing. But if it's God's Word, then you know what? We need to be doing what God tells us to do. Number 1, we need to continue stay in the Word because it is taught by the trusted apostle. Number 2, because it is able to make us wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Parents who have young children, you are to stay in the Word, both by what you believe and by your life. Because your children will see what you believe, but then if they see something else the way you live, it confuses them. You know what children will do? They just give it up altogether. Because you're confused about even Christianity. Why should I follow you if you yourself are confused? That's why we have to stay in the Word, because it's able to make us wise unto salvation. see, because it is profitable for our sanctification. The word sanctification means, okay, in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Sanctification is a big word. Okay, just remember this. Sanctification means, after we become a Christian through salvation, God then step by step make us more and more like Jesus Christ. That is sanctification. Setting apart. Making you better and better and better and better as a Christian. We need to stay in the Word because, can I say this? If I ask a question now, when was the last time you read your Bible? I know many of us say, Brother Johnny, I read my Bible for the personal devotion. Can I say this? Do you see your personal devotion as God's way of saying, that's what I want you to do? It's not to make us feel good. Not to just claim the promises of God. It's to say, God says, I'm supposed to do this. And therefore, I'm going to make a decision to do this. I was reading my diary, and there was no diary today, like AIA and all that. They actually have those wise, so-called wise sayings. And there was one guy who said this, I can't remember. He says, the only way to grow is to change often. Now, I'm not talking about change as in anyhow change. But making decisions that will keep on making progress towards the right thing. Does that make sense? Which means that the moment we stop and stay put where we are and keep reflecting, and some people have been reflecting for the last 15 years. Because you will know a fruit, so you know a tree by its fruit. We need to stay in the Word because it's important for our growth as a Christian. Point number 4. We need to stay in the Word because the Word is given by God. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God's Word. And letter E, we need to stay in the Word because it makes us ready for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:17, that a man of God may be truly perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The word truly, how many of you in your Bibles have thoroughly? Okay, thoroughly, okay, that's okay. It just depends on the printer, okay. Truly is the proper interpretation. Truly means starting from inside out. Thoroughly, just everything. Okay, it does have a slight change in that meaning. Truly means coming in from the inside. Okay? Now, this is important because, I'll give you examples. I want to ask us, are we ready for every good work? Okay? I will ask some question. You don't have to put up your hand, but answer the question yourself. Okay? Are you ready, number one, to lead someone to Jesus Christ? Don't have to. But in your own heart, are you ready to lead someone to Jesus Christ? Number two question. Are you ready to disciple someone from the point that he is saved to the point that he is a someone who will reproduce himself? Because that's a good work, right? That's what the Bible says. Are you ready to do that? Number three. Are you ready to help a drug addict come to Christ? Are you ready? Are you ready to help someone from a broken home find Jesus Christ and meaning in life? Because that's what Paul did all the time with his ministry. Are you ready to help an unwed mother? Are you ready to help a beggar that just walked in? Rajani, I need training. I'm going to have that next year. Are you ready to commit to those training so that you can be ready for every good work? Because the Bible says we need to stay in the Word that a man of God may be mature, truly furnished. Can I say this? If you cannot disciple someone from point A to a person becoming a genuine believer in Christ, moving on for him, we need to continue down in the things that we have learned. It could be that we have stopped. We're no longer doing it. Let me ask you a question. How many of you remember for Friday night? I told you we're going to have a recap of what we're going to learn, right? How many of you remember what we learned this year in Friday night? Or maybe one thing you learned in Friday night this year? Sorry? Friendship. On friendships? Friendship in Sunday school. How many of you remember what you learned? What did you learn? Sorry? Sunday school. Meaning of Christmas? Sunday school? Oh, okay. Okay, sorry, Sunday. Okay, okay. Alright, okay. It said 7:30 last week. Okay. How many remember what you learned? Sorry, as pastor, I'll do this. Because we need to have a learning congregation. Because Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Christians, we need to continue now. How many of you remembered I preached on the law of reaping and sowing? Reaping and sowing, for those, have you put into practice some of those things? How many of you know the 7 principles of reaping and sowing? Not guilt trip, I'm not trying to put you at guilt trip. I personally believe when you come to church, it's not just to listen and go home. There must be growth. It must be part and parcel of your life. We must change. You realize God has given us, I'll repeat this again and again, but God has given us so many. How many of you remember I preached on victory? How to have victory in your Christian life? How many of you remember that? How many of you remember I preached on one man? One man. How as a church we need to be united? One man. How many of you remember at the beginning of the year I preached on the whole book of Hosea? How many of you are loving someone much better? More unconditional in your love. Because Hosea teaches unconditional love. Continue thou, Christians. Continue thou in the things which thou hast heard. Don't let it slip. Because I tell you, the moment you let those things slip, your Christian life will slip, your love for God will slip, and eventually, if you're a father, your love for your family will slip. Or it will become skewed. You only have what you want, but not what God wants. Because genuine love always gives what is needed, and not what the person wants. Oh, I have many times to do that. It's because I love that person. Continue thou. As we close, I hope you take this seriously. I don't know about you, but I hope you get a sense that the Bible is the most important thing beside my family to me. The Lord Jesus Christ's glory must be number one. And I hope that we grow as a people that say, Lord, we love you. And if you tell us to stay in your word, we will stay in your word. Because Jesus told the church, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We are not to be distracted from it. We are not to have our own say on it. If God says one, we say one. If God, I heard this before. If God says jump, we don't say why. We ask Him, Lord, how high? Lord, we want to do what you want to do. And as we close, Christians, are you continuing thou? And as you think on these things, may I encourage you, I believe 2012 will be much better. But you know what? Take these thoughts home. And if you don't remember anything, just remember one thing. God, Paul teaches us, whatever you have learned in your Christian life, continue in it. Stay put, stay fixed, stay established. Don't let anything of this world, don't even let your own philosophy and teaching and thoughts distract you from the number one thing, and that is to glorify Jesus Christ. And to obey His word. Because Paul says to Tim, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast be assured of. For this last Friday night of the year, I hope to be able to challenge you to take that step. And ask you to pray for me as pastor, because I need to be wiser in the way I present God's word. So that it's understandable, livable, defendable. And that everyone that is a member of Ambassador Baptist Church will be able to go out and share his faith confidently in this world and be able to disciple someone to the point, because a man got together on Monday and we believe with all of our heart the most lacking thing we are not doing in Ambassador Baptist Church is discipleship. And by God's grace in 2012, we will put everything we have. By God's grace, we are going to move from a program-oriented church to a discipleship-making church, a church that will honor Christ by making disciples of everyone. Because Jesus said, teach them whatsoever things I've commanded you. Right? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, and people are very serious and solemn, I know. Because it is a solemn thing, Lord, to live under the conviction of your word. Father, I ask you to help me to be clear in my convictions, not just for myself, but for everyone sitting here, Lord. Because it is your church, it is your sheep. And you instructed Timothy through Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3 that we are to teach no other doctrine except the doctrine which we have received of the apostles. Lord, I pray for a brother today, right now, who perhaps is listening to this, is not too sure where he needs to place this. I pray your Holy Spirit will show that person. I pray for a sister who is in the same category, whereby if there's some thoughts, Lord, I pray in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 that will bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Father, I pray for every young Christian who wants to grow. Lord, the intention and design of this message is not to break, but to build. And I pray that if certain conviction or perhaps guilt feelings have come up, I pray, Lord, that you will work in that heart. Cause that heart to come closer to you, Lord. For we know that genuine repentance means we will move closer to Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you as a church. I thank you for the faithfulness of so many people. Lord, as I look across, I know almost everyone. But I thank you for their heart. I ask, Father, that they will move towards the next step of growth. That God, by your grace, we will move towards a point that we will learn to love you more than ourselves. We will learn like was preached on Saturday, that we have a passion for God, passion for the brethren, a passion for the lost. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will truly work in our hearts. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, I'm just going to ask this. You say, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me in some way. Can you just pray for me that God will help me to continue in the things which I've learned? Is there anyone like that? Let's put our right hand, I'll pray for you. Is there anyone who says, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will make me to continue in his things that I've learned? Is there anyone? Don't be shy, just between you and God and me. I will just pray for you. Amen, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand too. Just put up, amen, I see that hand. Fathers, mothers. Amen, I see some of the mothers putting their hands, and fathers as well. Amen, I see that too. Put it up and put it down and help God help me to continue down for the sake of my family and people under me. Is there anyone else? Father, I pray for everyone that's put up their hand and is encouraging to see for other people putting up their hands for prayer. Oh God, how we need to pray so much for one another. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I pray for strength for everyone that put up their hands. Father, I pray for 2012 will be different. It will be different because it will be governed by a determination to live godly in Christ Jesus. It will be governed by every decision, Lord. They will not make their own decisions. They will stop. They will go to the Bible and they will consult a godly friend, perhaps, and say, should I do this or should I do that? Then, Father, they will just not only be within, Lord, they will be willing to seek you. And they seek the counsel of godly people in their decision making. Lord, every decision they make for their families will be governed by your word and your will. And that, Father, they will be willing, Lord, to take a stand where they have to love you, to love your church, to love your people, to love the lost. Lord, I pray for grace. I pray the ambassador will grow in the way that you want us to grow. For, Father, there is no middle ground. Lord, we know that you are coming soon. Help us to be found faithful. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay.